Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh, and I am learning how to age gayfully.
Well, and I'm Chris, and I don't know, should I be Christopher today? What do you think, Josh? Because I'm always...
I think you should always be Chris.
I think I should always be Chris, you know, because I've taken off my bow tie, and I'm aging gayfully. I have always been aging gayfully.
Well, that's good, and I have always preferred Josh to Joshua, because as you well know, when the full name comes out, you're in deep trouble.
You know, that is so true. Christopher, what are you doing? Oh, God, those were the days. Chris and Josh, aging gayfully. An ally and a gay senior.
See, I prefer the rhyme. An ally and a straight guy. No.
Wait a minute.
A gay guy and a straight guy is what I fear. Or a straight guy and an ally. Well, I'm probably going to edit this all out.
No, don't edit it out because I got a funny line for you. Here.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was at the chiropractor. The chiropractor and I, we... You know, he's probably around your, maybe even a little bit younger than you. So, and I'm pretty open with everybody, and I got adjusted. I got, you know, all that. And walking out the door, and he says, "Boy, that's the straightest I've ever seen you." And I just looked at him. I said, "Oh my God, you've got some magic hands. That's the straightest I've ever." And he thought for a second. He goes, and he busted out laughing. So I said, "Oh, you must have some magic hands, but I prefer to age gayfully, even if you, but thank you for straightening out my back."
Well, I do hope that you got over it though.
Oh, well, at this stage of my life, I don't really give a rip. So
Excellent. I got to tell you about my week. We're exploring so much on this podcast, yeah. Not just traveling to different places, but meeting different people. And I had the best conversation this week with a soul singer from Norway. It was such a great conversation. Yeah, so cool. And Norway is definitely now on my must visits.
Well, road trip.
Well, no, it would have to be either by boat or by plane. No roads.
Well, the Scandinavian part of the world would be a delightful place to visit and spend some time and do some of these shows, because the Scandinavians have a very unique perspective.
Have you been?
The closest has been Denmark. We didn't make it into Richard. Tried to drag me into Copenhagen, and then the heart and the mind is willing, but I that's a part of the world, that's another part of my bucket list.
The gentleman whose name is Erik Norvald Roe, and this is me pitching his new album because he does amazing music, just such a warm, friendly guy, and I just need to visit that part of the world, not just to see how beautiful the fjords must be, mm-hmm. and the beauty of the surroundings, but imagining a society that was full of people like Erik. Oh my gosh. Now, I mean, everyone has their apples, but still, it just seems like they've got it a little bit more together, and I'd love to visit that and be amongst that.
It can happen. It will happen, because aging gayfully is global. It's not just local. Aging is a global issue. And one of the things about music is music brings people together.
Here's the fun thing about music. Music is probably the most prevalent and easily accessible form of therapy that there is.
Right.
Because it is therapeutic.
It is. And you've written and sung some of your own tunes as well. So, you know, you've got it in you.
I enjoy doing that for different reasons, but if I just need to unwind, if I need to center myself, if I need to connect, you know, there's nothing like throwing on a nice song, maybe some classical music, maybe some ambient music, maybe some jazz. It really doesn't matter to me, to just really ground me and connect me. And at that point, I don't want it to be my own, because I don't want to sit there trying to chill out and critiquing my own playing or voice. So give me some nice Vivaldi.
Music feeds the soul.
Yes.
How did we get into music? Quick, because your friend in
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Scandinavia.
That was the highlight of my week. How is your week gone?
The highlight of my week has been learning how to put together a streaming radio channel. So, and we, you know, we talked, and I think in one of our previous episodes, and our listeners know that, you know, I'm dyslexic, and numbers and spreadsheets, they can tend to be a problem, and scheduling the streaming radio channel, which is a soft launch for the other project that I've been involved with for a number of years now, the Whole Care Network. It's been fun. It's been challenging, and I know that there's probably tons of people out there that could do this better than I can. But it's like anything else that you do in life, you have to at least start it. But I've coined the phrase, I have watched radio this week. And what I mean by that is I've watched how the spreadsheet, which is the schedule, how that, because it's in real time, and how that maneuvers from one show to the next, and what the gaps are in between, and how those gaps are filled. It's like, I think I have it figured out, but probably not.
We shall see.
But we digress. But
we progress.
We progress. That's right. I like that.
That leads into the idea of how you spent yesterday, and then that's going to be what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And this is a project that's very near and dear to my heart. And I think it's a project that no matter what side of the fence on, you're going to be interested in. And it's kind of why I wore my green shirt today, because it's called the Migraine Folder. Now, why green? What do you think, Josh? Why green? Green, what does green mean to you?
Well, first of all, I know that it's not easy being it.
Yeah. Very good.
Life, plants. Yeah.
Life.
Hope.
Plants.
The Irish.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that green is life and living.
Green is go.
Yes. Oh, green is go. Very good. I like that.
Green is living. It's part of vibrancy. It's a part of life. Green gives life. We bloom again, and it's green. And you know, all throughout the caregiving experience with my deceased partner Richard, I carried a green folder with me wherever we went. And that green folder had all of our important documents in them, our life plan documents, our Richard's medicine history, everything that was pertinent to care, to life. People might be thinking, well, why would you carry that around? What's the significance of that? Well, emergencies happen at a moment's notice. Nobody, I know, do you prepare for emergencies, Josh?
I try to. I mean, I am a parent of four children.
Yeah, you're a parent. So, you know, you kind of got that in your mind that you know, things could happen. But as a parent, have you ever had to worry about, or as a spouse and a spouse, have you ever had to worry about not being recognized in a medical facility as an authority on the person in care?
No. Nope.
No. Well, you know, there's this little issue called marriage equality. Well, it's not an issue anymore. It's really a law. That law became in effect in 2015. Richard died in 2014, March 9th of 2014. I had to carry my green folder around with all of our life documents, healthcare proxies, power of attorney, surrogates, all of them, so that I could be insured that I had legal rights to Richard, and I could speak on his behalf. I could be his advocate. I could be the person who could facilitate what his wishes are legally. because we didn't have that marriage certificate in our hands that provided that instant recognition. And that's why the My Green Folder Film Project is so important, especially and timely in today's volatile political conversation about the LGBTQ community. You know, I think we lose sight as time goes on, and history does repeat itself. But you know, the reason the My Green Folder Film Project is so important, because not only does it tell our story of love, care, and commitment, it tells the story of why marriage equality is so important. And it gives the legal authority for two people who are caring for one another to supersede any type of bigotry that they're going to find. Because you can have the marriage equality, you can have that certificate, but one thing that you're never, ever going to change is some person's bigotry. We hope people get a light shed upon them, and that bigotry kind of removes themselves. But I think one of the things that we've seen here in recent history is bigotry is prevalent. And it comes at its worst time, especially at end of life. I'm not aware of any faith-based organization on this planet that is a proponent of somebody dying alone. And it boggles my mind to think of why do I have to have a document to prove that I have legal authority of this person that I've loved and cared for years. But you do. Not only on the legal side of it, but dealing with families. All too often in my experience as a social worker and working in the gay community, you hear these horror stories of families that have been disconnected to their gay brother or lesbian sister, where all of a sudden there's a health calamity and the family just kind of swoops in and leaves the longstanding partner on the curb. It happens. It happens time and time again. And these legal documents, that's why marriage equality is so important, because of the connection death has to marriage. Now, that's kind of a shitty way of saying it, but we don't think of it. We don't think of it at that point when you get married and till death do us part, when sickness and health, all those meaningful terms become reality, hopefully later rather than sooner, but they become reality and they hold court. And I don't mean on a tennis court. I mean in a legal court. And for two men to walk into an emergency room, it's much different than a man and a woman to walk in. And here's the parallel there. There's tons of unmarried heterosexual couples. Tons. Tons. Are they asked the same questions? Most cases not. But do the rules apply? do the legal rules apply? Say, yeah, because the next of kin in every state is the spouse. So if you don't have your legal ducks in a row, whether you're straight or gay, if you're unmarried, you're in peril to whatever that state rules and regulations are. And it's your most vulnerable time when you're trying to advocate for the person that you've been with and loved for years. You can be pushed to the sideline. We carried all of our documents together in My Green Folder. And it proved beneficial in so many situations, especially when you're dealing with, you know, if you're in the middle of a health calamity or an emergency and you're dealing with new healthcare personnel. We'd established a relationship with our primary care physician, with our oncologist, all the different specialists that we came in contact with during our cancer journey. But there were times when there were people that didn't know us. Invariably, the questions is, and what is your relationship to Mr. Schiffer? Well, my relationship to Mr. Schiffer is he is my life partner for 11 years, and I'm his caregiver and healthcare proxy and power of attorney. End of conversation. Here's my documents. So I think, especially in our Western culture and society, we have often have a hard time about talking about end-of-life wishes and documents and what's needed. I think I think 60% of the people in the United States don't have a will or our life documents in order. That boggles my mind, because emergencies happen, whether you're gay, straight, but if you don't have your documents in order, you're really screwed. You'll have other people making decisions for you, and I can guarantee you, you're not going to like their decisions. And that's why this My Green Folder film project is so important, because it not only speaks to the importance of marriage equality and the calamities that happen in an emergency and in healthcare specifically, but in legal systems, but it talks about why something like this is so important in today's climate. Healthcare it should be a given, not a privilege. Healthcare is for everybody. And especially when life transitions. And, you know, we've taken this film project to where we've demonstrated the importance of not only having the documents, but how having your documents in order are important, not just for gay people, but for everybody. The My Green Folder film project is also a love story. Our story is really no different than anybody else's. It just happened to be about two men who actually loved each other, who could have been your neighbor. I think we get caught up in too many connotations that we don't know anything about. And I guess what I mean by that is, if you can't just judge a book by its cover. Well, I can't talk to that person because they're gay. Well, you know what? I said I had a funny thing happen here at the condo. I said hello to some man downstairs, and I had never seen him before. And because he was one of the snowbirds, and he said I introduced myself, and he somewhat friendly, but not very friendly. And he goes, "Oh, I know who you are." And he was kind of snooty about it. And I almost said, "Oh, have we slept together?" Because I didn't have a clue who he was. I knew where this was coming from because I know how people talk. Two men living in an apartment complex. Well, it's not even that. It's not even the way. But, you know, we get caught up in what we think we see, but we don't really know.
I can't imagine saying to someone I don't know, "Oh, I know who you are." That in and of itself, that amount of cheek just really blows my mind.
Yeah. It's those subtle messages that gay people have dealt with all the time.
So I did reference how you had a good day yesterday.
Yeah.
This project is proceeding along. I mean, it's not just this up in the sky, I'd love to have a film. This has legs.
So My Green Folder film project, we do have a working script by a bona fide screenwriter who has had numerous of his projects produced, one on the Hallmark Channel. So we ended up going through four different edits of the script to get it to the point to where it's ready to distribute to producers, actors, agents who want to take on the project. You can see the project at mygreenfolderfilmproject.com, but it's ready to distribute to the industry as a viable project. You know, our story is no different than really anybody else's. We were fortunate that our story was featured in a Pulitzer Prize nominated story. And that's what kind of gets the attention of people in the industry is that, well, you know, it, you know, what do you have? Story about two men. Well, you know what? Well, when you add Pulitzer Prize nominated, that gets the attention. And we're pretty confident with the path that we're moving towards in 2024 that this project's going to get in the hands of the right people, because it is a love story in its essence. But it's very timely in the climate that we're living in. On one side, why marriage equality is so important, and that's a law of the land that should be ensured. But we've all seen over the last year or so that there's no assurances. It demonstrates, because people, and this has been proved out over the years as I've done presentations and talk to people through my role as an advocate, people don't understand that their life documents are moot upon death. I want to repeat that. Your life documents, even if you have life documents, are moot upon death. And that everything, all those wishes transfer into being the executor of your estate, your will. And I'm not giving, I want to emphasize here, I'm not giving anybody any legal advice. Talk to your attorney. Talk to an elder care attorney. Talk to an attorney that deals specifically with these issues of life documents and wills and estates. And, you know, yesterday in talking with, the screenwriter, it was great to kind of reminisce about why this was all important. And then I went and helped a friend of mine who's in his 80s, who's trying to figure out his documents and get those in order, because he had moved from another state to Florida, and Florida's different. I think that's probably about the nicest way I could say it is, you know, Florida's different, you know, and every state is different. And, you know, do you have, you know, your documents? Like this gentleman, he's vibrant, he's busy life, he likes to travel. But he felt comfortable in talking to me about these documents. And I just kind of said, well, you travel a lot. Do you take any of these with you? Well, no. Well, what would happen to you if you were on a cruise or a trip and you didn't have any of these documents with you? We just had these open and honest conversations, because I can demonstrate through the story what can or cannot happen. And I think when you can give those credible examples to people that they can relate to, it makes these difficult conversations just a tad bit easier, because they are difficult conversations, but everybody needs to have them. And in having those conversations, you can definitely age gayfully. Once they're done, they're done. They need to be looked at maybe every 6 months or a year. You know, your attorney will tell you, because laws change in each state. But I can attest that the My Green Folder Film Project would demonstrate to any type of couple the importance of having these documents in place so that love, care, and commitment can continue on without any additional drama or burden that a health calamity will impose on a couple. You don't want the state involved in any of your decisions. and you don't want family members from 30 years who you've not 30 years ago who you've not seen all of a sudden swooping in and saying, "Oh my God, oh, my brother, I loved him so much," and he's, but you know that he was a fucking fag.
Yeah.
And I just hated his life. And that person he's been with, they don't have any rights. I mean, the way to get your rights is to go to Mr. Attorney and get your rights. Because, and this is another line that I've learned along the way, where there's a will, there's a relative.
Well, I like that one. That's a good one. Merch. put that on the t-shirt.
That's another Aging Gayfully shirt. I think so.
There you go.
Yeah. So
I can't wait for this to come out. And I have one final question for you. When the roles get cast, which role do you think I would be able to better play, you or Richard?
I think you'd be better to play me.
Ah, there you go. Because of the facial hair, clearly.
Well, 10 years ago, the hair was on top.
Oh, God. So several hours of makeup,
several,
I see.
Several hours of makeup, yeah. And actually, you know, it's funny. The screenwriter asked me yesterday, who would play Richard? Because in reading the script, and this is a compliment to the screenwriter, he never met Richard, but you know, through the story, through the videos, and I'm not even sure I've told you this, Josh. I have 10 or 11 phone messages that I've saved of Richard's. I have him when he was at his peak. His voice was strong, laughing, and I have him at his weakest. And the screenwriter, in talking to his niece, the journalist who wrote the story, people that knew us personally and professionally, he captured Richard's essence and personality. Can I share one line in the story, in the script? So here's you kind of picture the scene. We've all been involved in this in one way or another. The nurse comes to the house to do an assessment. And she's very diligent in going through Mr. Schiffer, your blood pressure. And then she gets to, you know, Mr. Schiffer, this is your diet. You need to be eating this, 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 and this. And he looked at her and he said, "Lady, look. I'm between 82 and death. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat." She looked at him. She looked at him, and she didn't know, you know, she didn't know what to say. And then it connected, and she looked at him and she said, "You know, Mr. Schiffer, you are exactly right." And when I, you know, of course, I conveyed a lot of this too, and it was in some of the Purple Jacket blog. But when I read that, it was like, oh my God, I could see Danny DeVito and Octavia Spencer, you know, doing the scene with these lines, because you know Richard's character is the star of this. His character, you know, his personality, his Manhattan 5'5" machismo just kind of comes through, and that's that essence, that line, which everybody has sat there with a nurse and they're going through their list, and they're just doing their job. And he put the human side to it because he knew that the esophagus cancer was going to take him, and he wasn't taking any prisoners. And I have one other funny line for you, just to kind of so we were at the oncologist, and of course the oncologist originally gave him three to four months to live, and he ended up living 29 more months. That's parlayed in the story, but we're in the waiting room area of the of the oncologist, and there's all these different patients there. You know, they're somebody, they got their IVs in, they're just, you know, they're just, it's just a depressing. And Richard's standing over on the side, and he's looking at his phone. I even have a picture of this. And the doctor walks by, and the oncologist, he looks, says, he called him Burn, because his real, his first name was Bernard, and he hated being called Bernard. He looked at him, the oncologist looked at him, Burn, you looking great. And he looked up at him, well, thanks, doc, I have a good embalmer. And you would thought that comatose area, everybody was like, you know, everybody busted out laughing, as did the doctor. And that's the essence of Richard Schiffer. That's what I miss the most about him 10 years from now, 10 years ago, the essence. My Green Folder Film Project is my final caregiving duty for him. He always wanted to work on Broadway. And I used to tease him, oh yeah, another Jew on Broadway. I'm sure that's never happened before, but he always wanted to work on Broadway. He wanted to work behind the scenes, as he wanted to run the box office, or he went, you know, he knew he wasn't an actor, but I thought, oh, he could have been an actor. But, you know, his father wouldn't allow him to do that. He had to, he ended up working in the textile business. But this is my final caregiving project for him, to get this film and the story out into the public so that he can be honored, and that everybody who has a struggle with getting their important documents in place will do so, and assure that marriage equality will stay law of the land, because all rights upon marriage transfer at death. And we don't have that conversation in this society.
Well, like I said, I can't wait. All right, Chris, well, we're going to tie a bow tie onto this one and then send it out into the world. Where can people interact with us? How can they get a hold of us?
They can interact with us at aginggayfully.com, and they can email us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. They can see a preview of the film project at mygreenfolderfilm.com. But I think, Josh, we want to hear from our listeners. You have your documents in order? And if you don't have them in order, what's holding you back? Do you need some help and direction on where to go? Have you had a problem dealing with a healthcare system? We want to hear from you. We want to help you. We want to point you in the right direction.
Yeah, get in touch with us. We want to build a big, vibrant, happy, caring, supportive community around aging gayfully, because that's what it means to age gayfully.
That's what it means to age. We're all aging gayfully. You don't have to be gay to age gayfully, but it does help.
All right, folks.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next week.